All right, 1 John chapter 1. Mrs. Reed is a little hard to surprise because she writes the checks. And now she's trying to figure out how in the world did they write a check without me? We didn't. We just put a note in there that says, write yourself a check tomorrow. So anyway, you just have to get a little on the creative side, but you know, it's always impossible to surprise her. And so I think we got her a little surprise this time. And probably leading up to it, she was thinking, they didn't even think about me. 1 John 1, 1 through 7, looking at communion or fellowship with Christ. And the Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, that capital W there, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a joy that is. The idea of fellowship is company, a state of being together, communion, intimate familiarity, and companionship. If you use the word communion, which the Bible uses talking about the Lord's Supper as well, you get the idea. If you break the word down, you get the idea of things in common. You get the idea of community, where people are working together. You get the root word of communication, which is, you know, just having that fellowship that is there. And the idea of, you know, the idea of sitting to eat at a table is the idea of fellowshipping. When you eat with people, you fellowship with them. It's very good for families to eat together, to have supper together, whatever meals you can together, because it creates a time of fellowship, a time of interaction with the family, a time of communication. It is something that is missing vastly in a lot of families throughout the country, and it is destructive to the family unit not to sit together and eat together and fellowship together. In the Bible, we see there are some times when a person is living in certain sins that you're not to fellowship with them, and you're not to eat with them, it says. And what that does is the fellowship is broken because they're not walking in light. And so this idea of communion we're going to look at tonight. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us. Father, as we partake together of the Lord's Supper tonight, as we are reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're reminded of His broken body and His shed blood, without which we would not have salvation, God, I ask that you would help us to just be in communion with you tonight. God, that we would look at our own hearts, and Father, if there's something keeping us from fellowship with you, from communion with you, God, that we'd get that taken care of tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can have fellowship with God. Fellowship involves communication. Communication is two ways. Communication involves God speaking to us through His Word. God speaking to us through the preaching of His Word. God speaking to us through devotionals that come from His Word. And whatever it may be, we do have sign-up sheets out on the front table so you can read your Bible through in a year. If you've never done that, January is coming up. Get a Bible reading schedule and read through the Bible in a year. If you, but it's an idea of we want to hear from God. We want to hear. The Word of God is speaking, and it tells us, and it's communication from God to us. Then we pray. We talk to God. We share with God our thoughts, our feelings, our problems, our struggles, our requests. Sometimes we're going through hard times and we share that with God. He's someone that we can talk to. And of recent, I've had a few situations where I've heard, not directly said to me, although I believe a couple of them may have been, but situations where people say, I just don't even know if there is such a thing as fellowship with God. What a sad state to live in. Because God truly, if you're saved, God hears you, God speaks to you through His Word, and God wants that communion. But if we ignore communication, what happens? Fellowship dissipates. And we have to have that communion. Fellowship involves the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13 says this, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." That idea that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And that conviction that comes from Him, anytime you're convicted, isn't it great to know the Holy Spirit's working? We look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer and in our fellowship with God. It says in verse 14 or verse 15 through 16, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, God is not looking down on His children with a rod ready to just beat us into the ground. He is not to be looked at and I stand in fear and terror. God is to be feared if you're going down the wrong path. There's a chastening that can take place. But the idea of He's my Father. He's my Heavenly Father. I can go to Him for counsel. I can go to Him for just, I find safety in Him, protection in Him. He is the one that cares for me. He is the one that provides for me. He is the one that gave His Son so that I could be His Son. And that the Holy Spirit helps in this fellowship with God. And if we quench or grieve the Holy Spirit of God, then it damages our fellowship. It doesn't damage the relationship. He's still the Father, you're still a son of His, or a daughter. But it damages the fellowship. True joy in our Christian life comes from fellowship with God. You see, a person that just lacks joy, they lack fellowship with God. Because ultimately, when we fellowship with God, it brings joy. Back in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." He's saying, look, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen Him. We've handled Him. We've talked with Him. We've experienced salvation through Him. It is He who is eternal life. And if we're in Christ, we have eternal life. And He says, we're writing this book to help you to have fellowship with Him. And in having fellowship with Him, you will have joy. When you walk with God, it brings joy to your life. When you have nothing between you and the Savior, it brings joy to your life. Joy and happiness are not identical, but joy can definitely bring happiness. Sometimes you are in the midst of sorrow, but you have the joy of knowing that Jesus is there with you. And so let's look at some verses. I'm going to read these to you. John 10:10 says this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus Christ wants to give us a joyful, abundant life. It's not a miserable life. The Christian life should not in any way be a miserable life. You know, the Bible says that His commandments are not grievous to us. You get some people that are just like, oh, I just don't want the laws and the rules. And we talked a little bit about this morning about the nature of the law completely changes when you get saved. And the idea of, can I please the Father? How can I please the Father? What pleases the Father? I want my life, I want my relationship with Him, my fellowship with Him to be pleasing to Him. And there's nothing more miserable on this planet than a backslidden Christian. They may find some pleasure and happiness out in the world in the sense of physical, but they lack that fellowship with God. They lack the joy of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, 11, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." That comes at the end of that passage about the vine and the branches and abiding in Christ. That word abiding has the idea of communion, the idea of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that idea of our life is consisting out of His life. He is the vine, and the vine brings all the nutrients to the branches. And when you're plugged into Jesus Christ and you're fastened in and you're abiding with Him, that fellowship brings joy, it brings peace, it brings all of the fruit of the Spirit. And we need that. And in the midst of trials and troubles and struggles, guess what? We can still have peace and joy. John 16, 24 says, Hitherto, have ye asked nothing in my name, ask, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. See, when we're getting communication from God, and then we're communicating back to God in prayer, and just like you would ask your father, hey, Dad, can I have some help with this? Or Dad, can I get this? Or Dad, I need this. And Father provides for the family, for the children, the food is there, the insurance is there, the light bill's there, everything is taken care of. Guess what? Son gets to go up and open the faucet and water comes out because Dad paid the bill. And even hot water if you're lucky. But you look at it and it's like all of those provided needs are there. And when we have fellowship with God the Father and we enjoy that relationship with Him, that communion with Him, we ask Him, God, I need this. Sometimes we're asking for wisdom. Sometimes we're asking for direction and guidance. Sometimes we're asking for clarity on decisions that need to be made. Sometimes we're asking for bills that we're struggling to pay. Whatever it may be, when God communicates back with you and gives an answer and provides for you, does that not bring you joy? When God comes through in that need that you have poured out your heart to the Father and said, Father, there's nothing I can do about this. This is beyond my power. It's beyond my strength. It's beyond anything I can do. God, would you meet the need? And God comes through and you're just like, I knew He would. He's there for us. And we see those blessings from God. It brings joy. Sin never, ever brings joy. It never does. Sin may bring a thrill. It may bring a fulfillment of lustful pleasure. But ultimately, when it's done, it leaves you feeling dirty, wicked, and out of fellowship with God. And when that comes about, it's miserable. There's no joy in that. And sometimes we can quench our conscience or sear our conscience to the point that it's not even working anymore, and we think that we're enjoying this sin. But when you go to the Word of God and you're not getting anything anymore, and when you sit in the preaching of the Word of God and it's just like falling on deaf ears, and you realize there's damage to the fellowship. There's damage to the two-way communication that should be between us and the Father. It leaves you with a feeling of emptiness. It leaves you with a feeling of unsatisfaction. It leaves you with something's missing. And it's that fellowship with God. And people will seek to replace that with all kinds of varieties of things, but the truth be told, it can't be replaced in the life of a Christian with anything that this world has to offer. You can temporarily satisfy your mind. You may be able to do something and get a dopamine fix in your brain and you feel like, oh, okay, here it is, but you're still left empty. But when you fellowship with Christ, there's a joy that comes with that that is unmatchable by anything this world has to offer. Fellowship with God requires us having the same mind that He has. We look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is what? Light. And in Him is how much darkness? No darkness at all." You know, when you fellowship with God, it's all light. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God is light. We look at Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19. I want you just to take a look at this verse and see the light that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. We actually saw this in Sunday school this morning, looking at miracles concerning the sun. But it says in verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 60, "Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." Well, God is light, everlasting light. God will never burn out. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Says this, "Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Well, there's a message in and of itself just in those two verses. But I want you to understand that the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration got a little glimpse. The Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he got a little glimpse of that light. It blinded him for 3 days. It literally burned the outer shell of his eye, and that shell fell off when Ananias put his hands on him and God healed him. That light is so bright. And when we look at that, when we have fellowship with God, we walk in light. Sin, darkness dissipates away. And a person, if you're going to want to dwell in sin, you're not going to want to approach to the light. There are many a person that are not here in this service this evening because they want to walk in darkness. I'm not saying everybody that's missing is in that state, but there are people that have come to this church, they've liked the preaching of the Word of God, they've liked the choir, they've liked the music, they've liked a whole lot of things, but they didn't continue to come because they said, "I'm going to walk in darkness," and every time I'm walking in that darkness and I come to church, it reminds me of my darkness, and I'm going to choose darkness rather than light. And that happens. God is light. God is the brightest of the brightest of the brightest light. And so when we think about that, a light that is really unapproachable without Jesus Christ. And then verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. And some people get to the point where it's like, well, I don't need God. I've got it handled. I can pay my bills. Even if I had a $100,000 hospital bill, I got it covered. What do I need God for? Well, doctors can't do everything, can they? But he says, don't trust in those things. Don't get high-minded. But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. You've got joy, but then God gives us things to enjoy. I mean, you look at nature. Look at the ocean. Look at the mountains. It's like, wow, this is here for us to enjoy. How many of you are missing the sun right now? Yeah. Enjoy things. You know, what a joy it is to live with God the Father providing for us and giving us things to enjoy. We must walk in light to fellowship with God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. What happened with God and Adam in the garden? Boy, they had beautiful fellowship until Adam sinned. And then Adam was in darkness, and Adam was what? Hiding from God. Why? Because darkness had filled him. And the light approached. And darkness, light drives away darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now look at it. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If a person's walking in darkness and in sin, are they following Christ? Boy, we got to be careful, because darkness can creep in. Sin can creep in. And I'm walking with God. Not if you're living in sin. Not if you're disobeying God. Ephesians 5:11 says these words concerning fellowship with God. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. See, there are things that this world, and remember, Satan wants to destroy everything that God has created good. God makes marriage, Satan wants to destroy it. God makes two genders, male and female, Satan wants to mess that up. God puts the man as the head of the home, the wife underneath him, the children underneath there, and Satan wants to turn that upside down. It does not matter what it is, Satan wants to turn it all upside down. And God says, if you're walking in light, you need to actually reprove the works of darkness. Not fellowship with them. So when we look at fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowshipping with Christ and fellowshipping with darkness do not go together. Some people work a night shift and they need to sleep during the day, and they do everything they can to block out the sun. And some people live in sin and do everything they can to block out the light. We must walk in the light to fellowship with God, and we must walk in the light to fellowship with one another. If a person's walking in darkness, it breaks fellowship with those who are walking in light. You know, John said there again, he says, verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with who? Us. You know, I don't like fellowship with the world. I don't like the language of the world. I don't like the jokes of the world. I don't like the wickedness of the world. You get in a group of worldly people, and it's like, I don't like it. I don't fit in there. The Lord's Supper is referred to as communion. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 16 and 17. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. When we come to communion, God tells the church of Corinth in the next chapter, says, look, examine yourselves. What are we examining ourselves for when we take the Lord's Supper? To see if there's darkness left in us. And to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us and get back to the light. And when we partake together, we're saying we're unified. We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We have fellowship with His broken body on the cross. We have fellowship with His shed blood that He gave. We're united as a church body, taking this together, remembering together what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us as He died on the cross. And it's an important thing. I look at it, Christmas coming up, we think of the birth of Jesus Christ, but what better time of year to partake of communion with Christ, remembering His body and His blood. Verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter, chapter 10, says this, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. People make a choice. And as He calls the church together here with this letter and He writes it to them, and He says, look, when you come together to celebrate communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, communication, community with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come together to celebrate that, He says, nobody should be involved in the fellowship with the devil. Shouldn't be out eating stuff offered to idols and then come into church. Well, that's pretty blatant. But also in this church, there were people living in fornication in that church of Corinth. And He said, they can't partake together until they get it straightened out. And then there's a list of sins. Some of those sins you can put your finger on, and some of them are really hard. You know, when you're covetous, we've talked a little bit about that just in some meetings. It's like, okay, this is very clear. Drunkenness is very clear. They're in that list. Oh, covetousness. Define that one. So, you know, when does a person become so covetous that you say, well, you can't fellowship with us anymore? You know, that's a little harder to define. And then there's railing or a railer. That's a little harder to define. You know what I mean? It's a person that rants and raves and is just angry. But more than that, I mean, they're just attacking people. Well, people occasionally have disagreements and things like that. Where's the line on that? Some of them, the line's hard to define. But ultimately, it's this. We have to know our heart. And the Holy Spirit of God knows our heart. I can't look and say I know who's right with God and who's not. In many ways, I'm glad. I cannot, you know, the pressures of dealing with people are bad enough when you don't know. I couldn't handle seeing into the hearts. communion with God. So as we consider this tonight, I want you to consider, do you have fellowship, good fellowship, with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as we come together and partake of the Lord's Supper? Are you walking with Him? Are you together with Him? Did you commune with Him today? Does He speak to you through His Word? Do you speak to Him in prayer and communication? Do you have fellowship with one another? Are you at odds with other people within the church body? These are all things that we need to consider. So as we do this, let's stand to our feet. We're going to have an invitation, a chance to pray, a chance to commune and talk with God. Father, I ask that You would help us to consider our own hearts. God, we know none of us are perfect, and thence we are thankful for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the broken body of Christ that allows us fellowship with You when we don't deserve it. But God, I pray that tonight You would search our hearts for darkness. God, help us. God, even this very night, this very moment, maybe we've got a seared conscience and that conscience needs revived. God, may Your Holy Spirit work again. Speak to us. Help us to make sure that we're in communication, walking in light, walking in the joy of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, we're going to give a good, decent amount of time to come and pray, talk to the Lord.